Well, thank you, Sister Marla, for your special number and song this evening. And thank you, boys, for your special number and song this evening. That was wonderful. Tell you what, there's been for a long time good music coming out of Kansas City. Clear back to Terry Chance and that choir. And I remember Dr. Chad, your wife Carrie singing back in the day here. And beautiful, beautiful music. And I love music. I'm not very good at it, but I love good music. And I so appreciate that this evening. We are now at Saturday night, and I know some of you are sufficiently weary. But if the Lord will help us for just a little while this evening, I'd like to talk to you about some attributes that only God is able to represent. How old are your boys?
5 and 8.
5 and 8. I don't know how old Max was. Did you remember the illustration I told the other night about a little boy standing up in church and saying, "Folks, pray for us. Our house is a mess." You remember that illustration? Max, stand up tonight. This is that little boy. He's about 6'2" now. And Brad and Bethany were moving, and they had all of their belongings in boxes, and poor Max was just stressed out. And he said, "Folks, pray for us. Our house is a wreck." Brad is a mortician. Make sure you're breathing properly. Otherwise, he'll take care of you tonight. Brad and I were doing a funeral. I preached, I think, almost 80 funerals in 16 years at Fort Scott. And Brad and I were doing a funeral north of town. I guess by now it could be public knowledge. I don't know. But Brad and I were doing a funeral, and I had been asked to be a part of the funeral as a chaplain at the hospital. I didn't know the family at all. They just needed some help. And one of the things I did is I tried to tell the funeral home and the hospital, "Hey, if people need help, I'm glad to help at no expense." Well, it was a hot July day, and the person who had deceased, there were problems all through their family. Funeral was supposed to begin about 2 o'clock that afternoon. It didn't begin till about 3. And it was hot. I mean, triple digits hot. People were coming in late. People were coming to the funeral drunk. People were smoking under the tent. I mean, and the wife and the ex-wife got in a fight over a wedding band. And I'm telling you, it was one of the most challenging funerals I have ever preached. But after all of the dust settled, well, before the dust settled, Brad said, "Pastor, do you think it'd be okay if we took off our suit coats?" I mean, multiple people came without shirts on. It was so hot. I said, "Brad, I think it's going to be fine. I think we can take our..." But you know what? God helped me preach that funeral that day. And there was a cousin. He came up to me after the funeral. And he said, "Pastor Stettler," he said, "I am the only Christian in my family." He said, "I know good and well you're not going to get a penny for this." He said, "I know my family. We're a bunch of rednecks and we are lost. But," he said, "I love the Lord." And he handed me a hot, crisp $100 bill for preaching that funeral that day. Let me tell you, friends, people are lost. And they need God They need the hope of eternal life. And thanks be to God, we still have a message of salvation that we can share today. I'm not at all nervous when it comes to preaching the gospel, because it is not an individual that can bring about salvation. Some water, some plant, but it is God that gives the increase. Thanks be to God. Speaking of being nervous, did you ever hear the name Paul Pierpoint? He said, he was talking about the election. It's been a few years ago when he was kind of chewing on his hand. He's just a nervous wreck. He said, I'm voting for Obama because I want Jesus to come back. I'm not nervous about preaching the gospel, because the gospel, the Spirit of God that brings life to an individual who is lost, the same Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead is the same Spirit of God that brings new life to humanity. And that person then becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. One of the greatest privileges of my life, I married Brad and Bethany and dedicated all three of their boys. Let me tell you, the journey has been good, friends. The journey has been good because the Spirit of God helps us along the way. Whatever He calls us to do, wherever He calls us to go, whatever He challenges us to engage in, it is the Spirit of God that helps us. Thanks be to God. We're going to talk about who this God is this evening. But I got an interesting text this afternoon. Do you remember Derek that helped me preach the other day? I got a text today. It said, Pastor, dear Pastor. He said, I noticed how well Derek did helping you hold that book the other night. Would I be able to help you tonight hold that book? I'm low on funds. I'm struggling. Signed, Jack Smith. Maybe he should stand at the back before the service is over. Let me read to you just a little excerpt from Cowan's book, and then we'll get started. I'm not a history buff, but I love history. And I love to look back to see what struggles people had, what they were going through. You know, some seem so insignificant to us. However, some of the little battles we get into they should be insignificant to us. But let's read a little excerpt. You sure you don't want to hold the book, Brother Smith? Okay. He's talking about the doctrine of the church being crystallized. What, you know, those old Methodists, Presbyterians, all types of people were coming together out of these camp meetings and revivals, and the Church of God holiness was being formed. And doctrine was beginning to be crystallized among them. And by the way, friends, with every ounce of energy that you have, don't ever give up on the essentials of the gospel and what has been presented as a traditional understanding of truth. And one of the things he talks about here, he says, this, you would think that it would be agreed upon among at least evangelicals today that God is the creator. Now, how much more basic can you get than in the beginning God created? By the way, friends, one of the things they talk about here, the Genesis account of creation is the correct view of the origin of man and his subsequent fall into sin. They talk about 6 literal days of creation. I'm surprised. I have a missionary friend who's as conservative as the day is long. I mean, outwardly, he would be extremely conservative. But his view concerning creation makes me a nervous wreck. It makes me want to chew on my hand a little bit. I'm surprised in the day in which we live in, the positions that are being held, what was once completely accepted as doctrinal truth from the Word of God, people are struggling. Don't ever give up on the essentials. God is the uncreated one who created. He created out of nothing, ex nihilo. He breathed literal life into humans. He is God.
Hallelujah.
And I'm just surprised. I'm just surprised at the differing views, even within evangelicalism and Christendom, concerning some of the most basic truths we could ever adhere to. He says, he goes on, man's fall made the atonement necessary, and this could be provided in Jesus Christ's sufferings on the cross of Calvary. He talked a little bit about the fact that those Old Testament believers looked forward to the coming of Christ by offering bulls and goats and turtle doves. And they were looking forward to the coming of Christ. And those of us who've had the privilege to be born post death, burial, and resurrection, we look back to that magnificent moment, that place of Calvary. Friends, it is the blood of Jesus Christ that is still offered today for the forgiveness of sin. Calvary indeed does cover it all.
Yes,
thanks be to God for who He is today. So, doctrine for the Church of God Holiness was becoming clear. And I'm so glad they landed on some good solid ground.
Yeah.
You know, I think the beginning first convention was 1888 in Fort Scott, Kansas. I think they had 5 years of existence before the first convention. But that first one was in 1888, the same year that the revivalists began. And then a couple, 12 years later, 1900, GBS had its founding. Just a little local information. All right, let's talk about some traits here. Attributes of God. Number one, invisible. God is invisible. Every time that individuals wanted to create some kind of image to worship God, the outcome wasn't very good, was it? What does Scripture say to us? You shall not make for yourself a carved image. any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Do you know why we believe that God is invisible? It's because God is a spirit. Colossians 1:15 says this, He is the image, Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. Did you know for a long time amongst our churches, they didn't want any pictures of Jesus portrayed? As a matter of fact, they often didn't want any pictures portrayed of people, because they didn't want to elevate people to a higher standard of some kind. Are we having an emergency?
Thunderstorm.
All right. It's better than an Amber Alert. The reason why some of these images, the reason why churches made some of those decisions is they didn't want there to be some type of image that was looked to instead of worshiping the true and the living God. John 4:24. God is spirit, and those who worship him, we don't come to worship an image. I talked to you about my dear friend William James Schaefer the other day, a man who loved God and sensitive toward the Spirit's work in his life. One of the things I didn't tell you about William James is he was not just a regular Joe kind of Catholic. He was interested in being, and there's a whole movement out there. They are Spirit-filled Catholics. They actually, and a host of them, speak in tongues. Now, William James didn't go that route. We had agreement there. But one of the things that is happening in many places today, people are wanting to worship God. They are not just wanting to come and look at a crucifix and go through all kinds of motions and stand up and sit down and stand up and sit down and go through an hour of worship where they haven't been connected to God at all. They want something real, and God offers to us His Spirit, and we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. His Spirit comes to live within us, but He is the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. Thanks be to God. Point number two, our God is intimate. Catherine and I have gotten to know each other all over again this week because we've been staying in a little camper that is so small. We love our little camper. We paid $5,000 for it, but it's been $10,000 worth of fun. But you have to get permission to pass each other in the hallway of that camper. It is small. But you know what's good? I love your laugh, man. I wish I could laugh like that. Let me tell you, you know what's good? The beauty of marriage is that we can be intimate. We can talk with one another. We can share burdens that we won't talk to anybody else about on the face of the earth. We can be extremely close. God wants to be extremely close to you. God is intimate. He's like a father to us. He longs to have fellowship with us. He is love. God can show emotion. You just look through the sum total of what the message of the gospel is. God wants a relationship with people. He wants to be intimate with us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. It's been a lot of years ago now. We were in revival at Fort Scott. Chris Cravens was preaching. Garen Wolf was singing. And on a Saturday afternoon, Ellie and Jake and I took a horse ride. I think I may have told this story at General Camp because Ron Allred told me the other night. He said, I remember you preaching a message about pillows of opportunity. On a Saturday afternoon, we were hustling on this little trail by Highway 54. And we were rolling along, and Ellie was in the lead, and she came up to this little cushion that had come off of a lawn chair. And her horse went left, and she continued going straight. She ruptured her spleen. We went to church, but Linda Lee saw her, and Linda said to Catherine, you need to get her to the hospital. So we took her to the hospital, and her spleen had been ruptured. She was bleeding internally. We went out to the hospital, and I was standing there. Chris Cravens was standing beside me. If you know anything about Chris Cravens, he's this tiny little guy. No, he's a big boy like me. And they put Ellie in that helicopter, flew her up here to Children's Hospital. And I'm telling you, I was crying like a baby. I didn't know what would happen to my oldest daughter. And big old Chris just put his arms around me, and we were praying. The 2 tons praying together, watching that helicopter fly off. And I had a talk with God on the way back to get my little family gathered up to go see what was going to happen with our dear Ellie. I said, Lord, you gave her to us. She's yours. Whatever you choose to do this day, I'm going to trust you. But I don't know what this moment means. I wasn't smart enough to understand it all. In a moment of time, when that helicopter takes off and you feel that breeze come over your body, there's a sense of release like you've never had before. It's only God that can assist you in those moments. But God, in His mercy, we stayed up here a day or two, and God touched her, and she's not had a problem since. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. God wants to be intimate with us. And the way you get there is to just trust Him. The way you get there is just to lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, allow God to direct your path, and He'll be faithful to you. Yes. Now, they don't always turn out that way. Some of the most dear friends on earth to me, that relationship happened because of tragedy. Oh, we were friends before. I pastored them from 1999 till 2004, and that's when Terry and Gwen Chance's son and Gabe Parsons, Dustin and Gabe, were in an accident. They were trying to negotiate a curve south of Fort Scott, doing about 130 miles an hour. And both their lives were taken. And Terry and Gwen, let me tell you, we walked through some of the darkest chapters that anyone could possibly walk through. But we walked through together. Gwen and I still talk often. Of course, Brother Chance, but Gwen's the one that fixes coconut pie, so I'm a little closer to her. But let me tell you, friend, when you say goodbye, I preached that funeral, tried to encourage the family. Fast cars, fine Christians, and the final call. One of these days, we're going to stand before Almighty God, whether it's a tragedy that takes us, as it did for this man in Virginia, or whether we just live to gray hairs and feeble moments. One of these days, we are going to stand before Almighty God, who is a God who wants to be intimately involved in our lives long before that final judgment day. Yes. He wants to be connected to us now, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. I've got 22 more here today, but we're going to skip a couple, all right? We're going to skip about five. Let's go to this. I want to end with this. Another attribute of God is he is almighty. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Friends, I don't know if you've ever seen the hand of God work. One of the beautiful things about the faithfulness of God leading up to the passing of Dustin, Dr. Alan Brown was preaching our camp. Bethany's grandpa, Brother Tucker, was highly involved in that camp down there. And Dr. Brown was preaching the final message that Dustin ever heard. Was a message from Dr. Brown. And he had preached a message. It was the closing night of camp meeting. He had preached a message. He used an illustration about a funeral that he had preached in Pennsylvania. A girl, 18 years of age, was tragically taken out of this life in an accident. He held up that bulletin from the funeral. And he was talking about that. Dustin was in that service. The faithfulness of God was at work in that place that night. God's power, I tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday. The power of God could almost be touched. I have not been in many services like that. Hadn't been in many services like that before. I hadn't been in many services like that since then. But it was like the power of God was expressed and felt, and people talked about that service for a long time to come. Partly because of the way life rolled on in the next 4 weeks. The power of God was displayed at Pentecost. 50 days before that, the power of God was displayed in a marvelous way when God raised his son from the dead. The power of God is exhibited in places all around the world today. There are people who are coming to Christ in places that you could never imagine today. The gospel, the message of the gospel, is still moving forward in our day.
Amen.
And this is the God that wants you to be intimate with him. This is the God who loves you. This is the God who does not want to be a distant God to you. Deism tells us that God created the world and he just flung the world into existence to leave it to its own vices. But we don't believe in a deistic God. We believe in a God that is all powerful. We believe in a God that wants a relationship with us. We believe in a God who wants to be our friend and stick closer to us than any brother. This is God. Behold, Jeremiah 32, I am the Lord God, the God of all flesh. And I end with this question for your consideration this evening. Is there anything too hard for God? It's a question that we can answer in the affirmative. No, God is all powerful. He is omnipotent. And you can trust Him. That prayer list you've been working through here lately, maybe it's a son or daughter that you're concerned about. Maybe it's a cousin. Maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a problem in marriage. Maybe it's a problem at church. Let me remind you this evening that the God who created from nothing is the God who loves us. And He wants to be intimate with us, and He, my friend, is all powerful. You have listened beautifully this evening. It's been a kind of a long evening, hadn't it? Long, boring preacher. But I tell you what, there's something I need to work on from being in this service. I need to laugh. What's your name?
Pierre.
When I grow up, I want to laugh just like you. Let's stand together. Lord bless each one of you for coming. Lord willing, we'll see. What time does it start in the morning, Brother David?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. Lord willing, we'll be gathered here. So good to see each of you this evening. And you are dismissed. Be blessed. Trust God. He is good. The Lord bless you.